Boston is a pretty important place, from what I hear. And that's where everything started, kind of. And anybody west of Boston is not too smart, you know, what I understand. And so I just wanted to start out by admitting that I was born in a little place known as Little Egypt in southern Illinois. It's halfway between the Mississippi River and the mountains. And I had a choice where I could call myself a river rat or a hillbilly. So I just wanted to make it clear that I'm not coming here as an intellectual today, but I do come here with a strong faith. Amen? No matter where we're born or where we come from, and by the way, I'm not ashamed of where I came from, where I was born. In fact, I love all of the United States of America, Canada, and I love this whole hemisphere. Amen? Yeah, it's kind of special. Well, who do we trust in questions of textual criticism, textual translation, and textual interpretation? I've got a paper back there. You can pick it up if you'd like. But you're going to be lost if you think, because I'm not going to be following it. But you can get one, anyhow. And we have to make a decision who we're going to follow. Everybody wants to follow an expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
They follow an expert, and you ask somebody why they use which Bible they use. Some say, well, that's what my denomination uses, you know. Others will say, well, it's certain professors or certain school where I went. They tried to introduce me to the 1901 ASB when I went to school. But then, across between a river rat and a hillbilly, I was kind of hard to defend. Of course, Brother Stewart, he's laughing back there, but his roots are not much better than mine.
That's right.
He's returned back to where he came from now, you know. And that's great. We travel all over the country together. His car is backed in ready to leave, by the way. That's one of the things he always does. When the last day Norman said, within 20 minutes, he'll be on 495 heading, and he won't stop till he gets to Illinois. Well, I'll take that back. He may have to get gas. But, you know, all of us are going to trust somebody. For the Bible that we're going to rest our souls upon for all time and eternity. You've got to trust somebody. And I talk to people and they always say, well, you know, I just don't feel like that I'm educated enough to make that kind of decision. That's for you scholars. Well, if a preacher tells me that, he's kind of in for trouble, because I like to remind him that he's called of God, ordained of God, to preach the word. The same God who called him ought to guide him to know which word to preach.
Exactly.
Amen?
Right.
You know, I once had correspondence with the president of a so-called fundamental Baptist college and seminary, and he was kind of amazed and with tongue-in-cheek. There was a little amazed that I had enough education to delve into questions of textual criticism. He didn't want to question my education. But he reminded me that as president of two previous schools, Baptist schools, he had two highly educated professors who had been involved in modern translation work, one in the New King James and the other either the NIV or the NASB, I can't remember. But anyhow, he said that he had talked to both of those men, and neither of them believed that they had the expertise to deal with a question of textual criticism. Now, they could translate, but they didn't understand textual criticism. And yet, later on in his letter, he told me about a reputable pastor in Ohio that had just switched his entire church over to the NIV. I had some problems there. These two professors admitted to blindly following the revised text. tax and neglected tax of other men for their translation work. They weren't smart enough to know where the Word of God was, so they were following other men's guesses.
Yeah, they're scholars, Brother Barney.
Yeah, I know.
They're scholars, right.
And so these men were blindly following the revised text of other men for their translation work, and thereby deceived millions of people into blindly following them.
That's right.
And I asked that college president about the fellow that changed the record, that pastor in Ohio that changed his church over, you know. I said, by the way, did he understand textual criticism more than those two men that did the translation work? Well, of course, he wanted to break off the tongue. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. But as I begin to evaluate that, one scripture comes to mind. Jesus said in Luke 6:39, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" And I purport to you this morning that if you're not using the King James Version in English, you're using any other modern version, you're following blind men. Blind men are following blind men, and they're leading entire denominations, universities, churches, families, and individuals into the ditch of unbelief. That's exactly what is happening. Multitudes are being led away into modernism and ecumenism and the charismatic movement and immorality and apostasy. Well, I want to say first of all, and I'm going to speak with authority this morning. I'm speaking with absolute authority. I've got it right here. That's all my authority right there. And the Holy Spirit that indwells, and the end result of that which comes forth. I'm not a leader this morning. I want to remind you of that. I'm just a dedicated follower. There's only one Bible expert that I'm willing to follow, and that's the one that wrote this book.
Amen?
Amen? There's not another expert on the face of the earth I'm willing to follow. Now, Dr. Wade said the same thing. See, he's done the same thing. And if I was going to, and I have a lot of respect for scholars in our circles. I have the utmost respect for Dr. Wade. I asked him before because he studied every word in the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic, and he knows all that stuff. And I'm so thankful for that, because I can tell people I have a good friend who's read the Bible and studied every word of it in the original languages and haven't found a single mistake. Amen? There are no errors in the King James Bible. It's doctrinally correct. Amen? And as Brother Hollywood just preached to us, it's the living word Jesus Christ is presented here. And you know, he's perfect. Amen? Now, my King James translation, I don't mind calling it perfect in that it presents Jesus Christ perfectly.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And I don't mind calling it perfect in a practical sense in that it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be
perfect.
Say it again. That the man of God may be
perfect.
Perfect. Fully furnished and all good work. Now, an imperfect book can't make a perfect man.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, the King James Bible is not cannot correct the Greek, the Hebrew, or the Aramaic, because God gave those words and those. Nothing can be more powerful than that. But the Holy Spirit can use this, and has used this English, after English translation, to communicate all the truth that's in the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. Amen? Well, I follow one textual critic, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at him, he has three perspectives. He's the Word of God personified, as Brother Dave covered in the last half hour. He's coming back to this earth as the sovereign ruling Word of God to judge this world. Revelation 19:13 said his name is called the Word of God, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the Word of God. That whether he should smite the nations and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's through his word. He's going to do all of that through his word. And we're reminded that he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sovereign ruler of the universe, sovereign king. And his name is the Word of God. He came as our Savior, too. Jesus, our Savior. The incarnate Word made flesh for our redemption. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He certainly has the wisdom not only to save our soul, but to defend His own Word. And we are reminded that He is the eternal Word, co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, as we quoted John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And He was not only the Word of God in history and in eternity past, He is still the Word of God today in heaven. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Anyone says, that's not in my Bible, you have the wrong Bible. That's the best, that's my favorite verse, and that's the verse that I would use to check out any Bible. It will either remove that verse, take the Trinity out of that verse, or have a footnote calling into question the authority of that verse. Michael Maynard written a book about that verse, supporting that verse. Amen? I'm glad we're getting some, you got it back there. Take a look at it. That side supporting one verse. And that's our weakest link. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus Christ as the eternal, incarnate, sovereign Word personified commands our respect as final authority on any questions concerning the Word of God. And you know, I preached through this in my church, and then I printed it and published it in the newspaper, and that's the copy I reproduced for you, which is kind of condensed. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, we notice that Jesus Christ practiced the infallible authority of Holy Scriptures in His works or in His ministry, in His daily life. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I cannot find, and I would challenge you to show me, there is not a single word which Jesus Christ doubted, denied, or destroyed out of the Holy Scriptures while He was here. Not a single word. The word fulfill and fulfill is used of Christ's word over 40 times in the gospel. Over 40 times He repeated that. He believed, obeyed, and fulfilled every word of Holy Scripture. Everything He said supported and fulfilled the Scripture. It's Satan, on the other hand, that is always casting doubt and denial on the Word of God. And I would remind you that most textual critics are following Satan as their leader, not Christ. Christ said, my need is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. John 4:34. He said, I do always those things that please Him. John 8:29. He said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. John 5:30. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. John 6:38. The Bible was His final authority, and the will of God and the Word of God are synonymous. There is no will of God outside of the Word of God. Jesus fulfilled every root of God in his life, and he accepted not only the scriptures literally by their interpretation, he taught us that also. He believed in the Genesis account of creation. He said, he spoke of the beginning of the creation, which God created, Mark 13:19. He believed, and I believe in the 24-hour creation, just like it's stated in the Genesis account of the King James Bible. He believed that Adam and Eve were real people. He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He believed their son was righteous and that Cain, their brother Cain, killed him. He spoke of the blood of righteous Abel. He believed in Noah and the ark and the universal flood and the liberals. That's one of the things they always reject. And Jesus said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. He believed it literally, accepted it literally, preached it literally, and warned us of the last days. He said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. He tied the world conditions before the flood to the world conditions before his second coming. And he taught us to accept these things literally. He believed in Lot's deliverance, Sodom's destruction. He said in Luke 17:29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus Christ preached against Sodom. Amen? And you know what he said? He said in Luke 17:28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we've got Sodomites in the water. Yeah, in Washington, D.C. And there's a law in Washington, D.C. against sodomy, so they're not even law-abiding citizens. And they're in complete violation of the Word of God. And if San Francisco gets much worse, God may have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. America is going to hell in a handbasket. And Jesus Christ foretold us of the evils that were destroyed. He believed in Lot's wife. He said, remember Lot's wife. She turned back and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. He believed in that God spoke to Noah in the, or Moses, I'm sorry, the burning bush. He tied the truth of his own death, burial, and resurrection to Jonah and the whale. And you wouldn't believe Jonah could swallow a whale, did you? Just trying to see how many people would sail away. But if God had wanted to reverse it, he could have reversed it just as easily. You say, can you explain that? No, I just believe the Bible. And Jesus said, for if Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:40. That's why I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. You say, yeah, but nobody else believes that. Well, I believe Jesus. I believe that's true. Amen? I mean, the other guys can change days and twist and whatnot, you know. I celebrate Good Wednesday. And I follow the expert, you know. Amen. And then Jesus made and allowed no distinctions in authority between the written words of Moses and his own words. He said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, the Pentateuch, first 5 books of the Bible, how should you believe my words? Anybody that doesn't believe in the 24-hour creation doesn't believe in the things that Jesus believed in, Adam and Eve, the fall of man, total depravity, doesn't believe in the flood and all of those things, how are they going to believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for their sin? You either believe it all or you don't believe any of it. You either believe the expert or you follow some other expert down the road of unbelief. Christ claimed that his words were living words. He said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why when his disciples left and he turned to the 12 and said, "Will you go also?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Living words. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It's a reality because we're dealing with a living word. Word that is alive. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Well, Christ's words we are reminded are also received words. In the prayer of Jesus Christ, he said in John 17:6, "I magnify thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." The word of God is a revealed word from heaven, the word of God. And he says, "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." Now, this is a received text.
Amen.
Amen? They say, "Well, you can't find the received text in the Bible. You got to follow the expert to find the received text." There it is. He said, "They have received them." Every text you get, you receive.
Yeah.
It comes from heaven. God guides it. You receive it. And he says, "And have known surely that I came down from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." And later on in verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It's received word. It's truth. And then he said, "And then we're in there too." Verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Their word. Whose word? The received word that was passed down. All the way down to today. Amen? You say, where did we get our word? It's a received text. The disciples received it. They passed it on. Generation by generation by generation. I had a college professor. And I'm not mentioning, I don't want to embarrass the school either, professor, because I think maybe he came around. But he told me, "You can't show me any word in the Bible that we're to have a follower receive text." Well, I just learned him a whole bunch of stuff on it, you know. And finally, he quit fussing about it. It comes from the expert. Now we are reminded, as we look at Jesus, he practiced the infallible authority of Holy Scripture in his works. He proclaimed the inerrant accuracy of the Holy Scripture in his words. Verse 18, Matthew 5. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." A jot and a tittle. Now I'm not doctor or waiter, I have to explain jots and tittles to you. But the closest thing I can get is dotting an I and crossing a T in the English. Amen? The smallest little part of the languages. Jesus Christ said, "It won't pass away." The word of God will not pass away. He said, "Till heaven and earth pass." Now, last time I looked, I mean, Bertha may be bad, but heaven and earth still here. Amen? And Jesus said, "It's going to stay. Till heaven and earth passes, He says, one jot or one tittle shall no wise fasten the law, shall all be fulfilled. He says the scriptures cannot be broken, John 10:35. And he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now you can't make a distinction between Jesus Christ and his word. You reject one. You can call Jesus Christ Lord and liar at the same time. Just can't do it. Jesus, as he spoke as the second Adam to Satan, he used and pronounced word-level preservation of Scripture to silence Satan. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted that from Deuteronomy, and he assured Satan, every word is still there. Every single word still there. And that kind of shut old Satan up, you know? Because all Satan presented, yeah, yes, God said. Jesus said, it's still there. Every word of it is still there. Jesus promised that the scriptures would be providentially preserved beyond the word of God in creation. We look at the word of God in creation. Psalm 33, I love it, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by theistic evolution. Is that what your Bible says? You got a perversion if it does. Jesus said, by the breath of his mouth. Now, he's the author of all the book. I know that that was written by the psalmist here. By the breath of his mouth. That's where words come from. How did the world come into existence? He spoke it into existence by the word of his mouth. No wonder he said, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Thou hast established the earth, Psalm 119, verses 90-91. Thy faithfulness unto all generations, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. God spoke all the natural revelation. Through natural revelation, we find all of the earth and everything that exists. God spoke into existence, and it's in submission to him and his will. The only thing that runs contrary to that is humans created in his image, that he gave the ability to either accept him or reject him. And we're all dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. As powerful as the word of God is in all our nature and all the world around us, it's going to pass away. But Jesus said, the word that I have spoken that is recorded for you, that has been received by you, shall never pass away. Shall not pass away. Three times that's recorded. Matthew, Mark, Luke. How many times does the Holy Spirit have to tell us that before we believe it? Yeah. Amen? And somebody says, well, the King James Bible's got problems. I say, well, I see the sun's still shining. Yeah, the world's still in. I mean, are you saying Jesus Christ is a liar? He's the expert I'm following. Amen. And you know, if you stop and think about it, even the Great Commission teaches us that. He empowered his disciples and all future disciples. He said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, what was the purpose of that?
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, you can't teach people all things that Christ commanded if you don't have all the words. All power Jesus Christ had when he gave that. The purpose is clear. We have to have all the words. And we have his promise of his abiding presence with us. Now what more do we need? Amen? And if we believe that, how come we're not preaching the gospel to a lost world? Amen?
The Holy Scriptures are the incorruptible seed of the sower that produce all spiritual life. You read the parables of the sower, it's the real seed is the Word of God, we're told in Luke 8:11. And that's the only source from which we have spiritual life and growth in the world. Everything comes from the living Word of God. It's the foundation upon which we build our lives. We're told in Luke 6:47-48, the expert tells us, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Two things, not enough to just know what the Bible says. It has to become a part of our life. It has to be put into practice. He said, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and the floods came, and you know the story, it didn't fall. There's only one foundation. The expert tells us it's hearing and doing his words. Right here. If you want a life that is built upon a solid foundation that the trials and tests of life will not destroy, you build it upon the words of Jesus Christ. Hearing them and doing them. Now, we're also reminded that if you want to be acknowledged as a relative of Jesus Christ, you know, his mother and his brother came and they told him, he said, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. Hear and do the word of God. He said, I'll acknowledge you as part of my family. Somebody mentioned about Mary, you know, and how some great things about Mary, and Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Christ practiced the infallible authority of Holy Scripture in his work and ministry, and he proclaimed the inerrant accuracy of Holy Scriptures in his words, and he promised us infinite accountability to Holy Scripture in his warning. And that comes next. Whosoever, our heavenly reputation, rest upon our handling of God's Word. Whether we make it to heaven or not, and some won't make it because some will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Never did know you. You were never saved. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Now he said, not a jot or tittle but pass. Boy, I hate to be a Bible director and read that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. I hate to be a professor in the Bible college pointing people to modern versions. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's just his reputation. He's heavenly reputation. He didn't say to make it. So he'll be spoken of, called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them both. Now you have to do, you have to hear, do before you teach. Amen? Teacher can't, you know, the old saying, don't do as I do as I say. Well, that's Phariseeism. The ones that do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, he says, error comes from not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
Matthew 22:29. And he said, you know, that hating and rejecting God's word is synonymous with hating and rejecting God in person. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. And he said, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. He said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. Now these are what the experts say. The world hates the disciples of Christ because of their stand on the word of God. Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. And there is one thing remaining ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words is an unforgivable, unpardonable sin. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Which ones? Any of them. There are more words of Jesus Christ called into question in the modern perversions of the Bible than anyone else's quotes. The Jesus seminar is called into question now, I believe, the last count was 82% of the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, he knew what age we'd be living in, didn't he? Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. We already saw that when we reject him, and his words will be judged by him. And he gives us the greatest warning that we find anywhere in the Bible. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man, doesn't matter what degree he's got, shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words, notice that, W-O-R-D-S, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Who said those words? He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. And then John tells us, even so come Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ gave that warning. Those are his words. The ultimate sexual critic. We had better be careful how we handle the words of God. What time am I done, Doc Lee? 10 more minutes, okay. Let's continue on. Jesus Christ characterizes those who really believe on him. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. How do we know we're disciples of Jesus Christ? By continuing in the word of God. That makes us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How do we know we're sheep? His sheep hear his voice. And he says, I know them, and they follow me. We're of the truth. Everyone is of the truth. Heareth my voice, he says. And we're reminded, if a man love me, he will keep my words. The love that we have for Jesus Christ is shown by how well we guard his words, both that we hear, that we do, and that we teach. And he says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're in fellowship with him as we're in fellowship with his words. You know, he taught us that the Spirit of truth would guide us into all truth. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And also we are reminded that he is called the Spirit of Truth, and he says, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. And I preach through every verse of the New Testament in the King James Bible, and the Holy Spirit is borne witness with my spirit that every one of those verses and every one of those words is the Word of God.
I've said that, and I've had people say, that's existentialism. I said, oh, I beg your pardon. There's a long line of disciples that have received such that accept the same and receive the same way. Amen?
Amen?
They believed that before existentialism, before the word was even coined. Amen. We're made clean through the word, John 15:3. Our prayers are answered if we believe the word and receive it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And we are reminded also, churches are blessed that are faithful to his word. Revelation 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They go together. When you deny the word of God, you soon deny the Son of God. We are reminded in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And lastly, we are reminded, what kind of righteousness do we have? Jesus said in verse 20, and all of this is based upon, do we accept the right expert, do we accept the authority of the Word of God, the accuracy of the Word of God, the accountability of the Word of God? Jesus said in verse 20 of Matthew 5, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's the end result of accepting the expert and all that he has said? Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. We only know we're saved by coming to Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. You see, the Pharisees, they didn't do that. They did all their works to be seen of men. They say and do not, Jesus said. They kept the little things in the law and omitted the weightier matters. They were blind guides that strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. Jesus had a sense of humor, didn't he? And he said, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's why he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But we are reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ took our sin and gave us his righteousness. That's the only righteousness we can have. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that is the Father hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ becomes our salvation, our righteousness through faith. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Who is your Bible expert today? I can recommend only one, the author of this book.